Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more. Oh yeah, shout out to our sponsor for today, Tommy John. Love that Tommy John's back with us. We're Tommy John boys. Shop Tommy John's colorful new spring designs at TommyJohn.com/JRVP and get 20% off your first order. Save 20% right now at TommyJohn.com/JRVP. Longtime sponsor Helix is back. Nothing worse than going to a mattress store, laying down on a mattress that you know hundreds of people have tried out, and then having to talk to the overly eager sales rep. Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. You can order a Helix mattress online and receive easy delivery. Go to helixsleep.com/JRVP. Get up to 20% off your mattress and two free pillows. This is their best offer. It will not last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. You know who else is back? It's Athletic Greens. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/JRVP. That's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Check it out. Anthony's impressed. He's going to be even more impressed with what's coming up. We got advice for a scorned lover that's also a listener to the show. Call in an audible on your wedding day. And the dildo Nazi next on episode 195 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project. JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Ladies, if you have to pay for your abortion, you should get the abortion.
What's that even supposed to mean?
You don't get the reference?
No.
You're talking too soon. You got to let the song play.
Sometimes you can talk over the sun song. Yeah. Aaron's definitely, Perfect Game's already out the door.
You can always talk over the sun. Aaron, do you know what that's from?
No, I don't.
No one saw the Chris Rock special this weekend?
No.
I love this line. He's talking about being pro-choice, pro-life, and he's like, ladies, if you have to pay for your own abortion, you should get the abortion. And that was my favorite line in the whole thing. I texted Chris Rock after I got to see it. I didn't get to see it live. I was doing my shows in West Nyack on Saturday night, but then I got home Sunday. I got home at like 11 a.m., flew across the country, and first thing I did was sit down with Liz and watch that special. I thought it was incredible. I thought
really?
It was, yes, I thought it was great. People, and I had seen some people talking shit. I see people on Twitter being like, oh, I don't know about this. And then like at the end, the headlines were the Will Smith stuff at the very end. And I thought that was great. I was like, why is he doing it live? He's a perfectionist, Chris, when it comes to his specials. Takes a long time. Takes like 10 times as long to edit his special to get it perfect than I do. I watch my special like two or three times Once is just for sound. I'm like, make these little cuts, but like, I can't watch this anymore. Get it out there. I don't change anything around. It is what it is. And I've been very happy with my specials, but it, Chris really gets in there. So when he's doing it live, I was like, huh, I wonder why he's doing this. And it was true. It must have just been for the, I haven't talked to him about this, but I assume it was just for the Will Smith thing at the end. It's like the last 10 minutes. He gets into that, teases a little bit before. But when the slap happened a year ago, Chris was had already announced tour date. So he had the hour plus that he does on the road ready to go, and then had to kind of work this in, work it out over the past year. And I heard he was like trying different things. I didn't want to know what the jokes were that he was doing on the road, because I wanted to see what the final product would be. And it was masterful, because when he's doing it live, so you know he only gets one take, and you can feel the anger. You can feel how angry he is. He messes up one joke. Everything else is totally perfect. There's one joke he messes up, but it almost like made it better. He's talking about Will Smith not getting nominated for the movie Concussion. The big NFL barn burner that we went and saw with Goodell. And and Chris says when he hosted the Oscars, Jada Pinkett was like telling him he should step down from hosting because Will Smith didn't get nominated. And so that's what started the beef between them that kind of led to this. And he accidentally says emancipation. He has an emancipation joke, a minute or two later, and he kind of switches it up and he kind of has to stop and like redo the joke. But I thought that was great. It was like fun to watch that in a live environment. He handled it perfectly. That I thought it was fun to see it live. And I mean, I didn't watch it live, but to see it the next day, taped live, was great. But I think someone said this in the after show. I think Arsenio Hall said this in the after show, that without that Will Smith stuff, it's still an incredible special. The stuff about his daughter is amazing. The stuff about, again, abortion is great, and like different between rich and poor neighborhoods. But the stuff about his daughter, I thought was absolutely some of my favorite stuff in the whole special. But the Will Smith stuff at the end, he basically blames Jada Pinkett Smith for the whole thing in a hilarious way. And people were like, oh, does he really think that the slap happened because Will Smith's wife cheated on her? And it's like, no, I don't believe that, but it was the hardest way to go. If you wanted to kind of come back at them as hard as you could for publicly humiliating you during the Oscars, this was the way to do it. And I thought it was great. You got to watch it. Aaron, okay. you didn't see it?
No.
It's great.
I mean, my Twitter timeline, and that's not a good barometer of things, we're definitely clowning on him for it. Like, writing, putting some jokes out there, just, not video, but just written out from the Jada Pinkett Smith section, and being like, it took you a year to come up with this, and people just, I think, wanting to not like it. That he's using that moment to profit off it, I guess, or to get material.
Yeah, if you don't like Chris Rock or are sick of Chris Rock being the best comedian maybe of all time, then this was your, then you had, you had things you could do from the special. But I thought it was taken out of context. Like, I heard someone be like, oh, he's got a pronouns joke. Oh my God, he's like fucking Roseanne now. And I was like, oh, I was bummed when I heard that. And then I hear the pronouns joke and I'm like, this isn't what people make fun of when they're making fun of people who do pronouns jokes. It was better than that. And it wasn't like making fun of using pronouns. It was just a reference to it that I thought the special was great. I thought, the first 20 minutes, he's kind of clearing his throat, setting things up. But the last 30, 40 minutes is absolutely incredible. As good as any special I've ever seen. I absolutely loved Chris's special. And a lot of people were like, oh, I turned it off for 20. Like, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't turn it off after 20. It's great. And again, without the Will Smith stuff, it's still a great special. He kind of had to do it. But I thought it was kind of closing the door on all of that. And he talked about it in a very smart, just a perfect way. I loved it. I wouldn't have shit on it publicly because I am friends with Chris. I do like Chris, but I just wouldn't have talked about it. But I was happy to. Some of my friends were like, I don't know about this and that. And I was like, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is great. Here's why it's great. I will stand by the special. There's been some great ones this year between Nate Bargatze, Marc Maron, Chris Rocks. I'm psyched with the specials this year. I got to see Jim Jeffries. I might watch it tonight.
Those are all from this year or the last
all from the past month.
Wow. Roth might be, is she dropping a new special anytime soon? I'm looking forward to it.
I hope so. I mean, you got to follow that up pretty quickly. What if we had Janet Roth come in here for the 200th episode as our first guest?
I mean, I'm sure she'll be in the comments if we bring her up.
What if I lift the restraining order for one night and bring her in here and do it up. That would be it would be huge.
I felt like I had finally made it really in the comedy game. You know, I'm kind of a comedian by proxy. You know, I'm part of a comedy podcast.
No.
I mean, a little bit. Like, when people that don't know I have this podcast at work, like, oh, what's your other podcast? I say, well, it's kind of a comedy podcast. And so if I'm on a comedy podcast, I'm in the comedy game. And the thing that really convinced me I'm in the comedy game is when I was posting things on Instagram for a while, Janet Roth would always be the first person to comment for a couple months. Mm-hmm. That's how you know.
Do you know what part you are of the comedy podcast?
Second?
The worst part.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You are the part we get notes about. I'm the draw. I'm the guy. Yeah, I was in West Nyack this weekend, my last weekend of a 3-week run. Have 3 weeks off now, and I'm very excited about it, but I got work to do. This West Nyack, it was fun. I stayed in the worst hotel I've stayed in on the road so far. I had to leave after the first night. I was like, I get to this hotel, and I saw a picture. The club was like, here's where we're going to put you up, and they sent me the link to the website. And I looked, and I was like, oh, this looks nice. It looks like, I mean, it looks a little more chill than what I normally like, but it looks nice. And I got in there, and it was one of those where, like, if you open, like, a drawer, you can't open the bathroom door. Kind of thing. Like, it was just like kind of like it was kind of thrown together. Liz and I, like, whatever, we'll deal with it. We get in late Wednesday night. And maybe if I had just been there by myself, I would have just, you know, been cool with it. But with Liz and me in there, it was like, this is, I want to get out of here. And let's say around like 2 a.m, you just hear this for like 10, 15 seconds. Just really like a horror movie. Like you're watching a trailer for a horror movie and this sound comes out to let you know shit's about to go down. And Liz and I are like, what the fuck is that? It's like coming from the ceiling. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's so goddamn loud, like building shaking. And we're like, well, that's crazy. Well, I don't know what that is. And it's, again, it's 3 a.m, and no one's doing work. And then an hour later, and we're like, oh my God, middle of the night, I'm asleep. I wake up to this sound. Happens a couple more times in the morning, and then Liz and I get out to go take a walk around West Nyack, which is a quaint little town. It's nice. But I go by the front desk, and I'm like, what is that sound? And the girl behind the front desk, and there's just one girl back there. And she's like, what sound? And I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't know the sound? Like, it happens almost every hour. And it's just like, burn, and I make the noise. And she's like, oh. I'm like, you can't hear that in the lobby? It sounds like the whole building would be, like, shaking with this. And she's like, no. And it's a small hotel. I'm on the fourth floor. It's, like, only four floors. And she's like, maybe they're doing construction outside somewhere. And I'm like, at 3 a.m. For 10 seconds every hour, they do a little construction.
She's just trying to help.
Yeah. But I'm like, okay. She's like, I'll call the engineer. And we walk out. Liz and I get coffee, get some lunch. Come back, and as I'm walking by, the girl goes, I called the engineer. I'm like, oh, yeah? And she goes, they said it's construction outside. And I'm like, and I'm not even like, there's no way. I just say, okay. And then I go upstairs, and I'm like, we got to get out of here. And then I go to the shows. My first shows, Berkowitz came, my agent and yours, technically. It was a hip pocket kind of situation. And he was like, why are you staying at that hotel? Before I even tell him the story of the noise, he's like, why are you staying there? He's like, he told me he once came to West Nyack, went out drinking with some friends, couldn't drive home, so stayed there. Woke up in the morning, was like, this is the worst hotel ever. Just going there and passing out and going to sleep. He was like, never. So he's like, you've got to go to, literally, like, I think made me a reservation at this really nice hotel 20 minutes away. That was one of the best hotels I've stayed in. And we got the fuck out. And I remember walking out with Liz, and we got 4 days in this hotel. As I'm just walking out, and I'm like, we're checking out, like, room, whatever. And she goes, why? And I go, how long have you worked here? And she goes, a year. And I go, you know why. And then just left. Just left and went to the cool hotel. The show
is that necessary? Is that necessary to make her feel bad?
You know? When you try to gaslight me that the sound at 3 a.m. I hear for 20 seconds is construction outside, yeah. You're getting the full jazz treatment. But the shows were good. A little different this weekend. I'm used to these smaller comedy clubs now with like brick ceilings, brick walls, packed in. It wasn't like a bigger crowd, but it was in a mall and just huge ceilings where my 50 minutes of material went down to like 42, 43 minutes. And so I had some work to do. I added some new jokes. I talked a little more. I found some more stuff. And now these 3 weeks I have off, I'm going to be writing. And I got to get up to an hour. We've got the tour dates narrowed down just about. I had a meeting with Berkowitz yesterday to figure out some good and some bad news. I've got some things I thought were happening are not happening now in the fall tour, which I will break the news to my mom shortly if she's not listening to this now. But I'm excited to announce the dates, hopefully in a couple of weeks before the end of the month. I got a new website coming and new tour dates coming, and I am pumped.
And a new cardigan.
This is old. I've had this. I may have worn it on the show before.
I haven't seen this on the Jesse Lincoln Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Good on you, Aaron. Good on you. No, I think I've worn it on the show before. I've definitely had it for, you know, at least a couple months.
Cardigan boy in the house. Cowboy boots boy, though, I heard, took a dirt nap.
I mean, he's alive and well, but I wore the cowboy boots so much that when I left for West Nyack Wednesday, I was going to put them on again and wear them all weekend. And I was like, you know what? My toes hurt. I got to give them a rest for a little bit. Let my toes heal. And that's just, that's cowboy boot 101. And thank you to whatever listener wrote the comment, Anthony's new boot goofing. Thank you so much. I love the term new boot goofing. I'd heard it once before, and I forget what the context was, and I forgot it until someone said it. But yeah, when you get new cowboy boots and you're way too excited about your cowboy boots, you're new boot goofing. And I was certainly new boot goofing, and proud to be new boot goofing. Have not bought another pair. I've looked online. I've considered, but I think I love the ones I have so much that I'm going to new boot goof with those. New boot goof with the boots that brought you.
I mean, I don't know if that's as flexible a term. Can you use it like as an adverb? I was walking around all new boot goofly.
Goofy. New boot goofy. Yeah, it's easy.
Wait. Why did it go from 50 to 43? Because the crowd is not making as much noise?
No, because the laughs, it's like the room, the energy in the room is different because there's just so much space for the laughs to go. Like, they just go up. It's just this huge, it's a huge room. Whereas if it's a lower ceiling, they're coming right at you. And I'm just like waiting longer in between jokes. Mm. There's a laugh after every joke. And like the shows were all great. There was one, I won't say which show, there was one that was a little bit of a shit show in terms of the audience being very drunk. Where like even the staff like loved having me there because they were like, your audience is great. We're making a ton of money. They're drinking like crazy. They're like running out of things and everyone's making a lot of money. And then one show, they were like, oh my God. The audience, they were rude. No one, people didn't tip. It was just a little bit of a shit show compared to what the other ones were, where I just kind of took a few steps back from the edge of the stage and did my show because I'm thinking about the people who aren't fucking idiots. But the rest of them were really fun. There was one, like there was a favorite. Normally I don't have like, I have one or two favorites of the weekend. There was one show that was definitely the favorite and then one that I was like, fuck this. But overall it was great. I liked the people and now I have 3 weeks off. To chillax, to write, maybe go see some movies. I want to see Creed.
You seem happy as hell when you came in, just that you're home.
I am. I was.
Maybe it's just to see me.
I've been very tired. I mean, I got in at like, you know, 11 a.m. from a cross-country flight and was pretty exhausted and then had to get up early Monday morning, go back to the dentist for my cleaning this time and did a bunch of stuff and got to sleep finally a little bit last night and I'm feeling good again. I'm feeling good, healthy, happy, 3 weeks off. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, life. What else? Oh, Rummy's first weekend with Miss Kim. Was this weekend? I was a little worried. I hired her at like the end of December just to make sure that when it came to this first weekend, they had to be together, that everything would go smoothly, and it did. Rummy was cool. He was very happy to come home and see us on Sunday. I told Miss Kim, I'm gonna get home around noon from the airport. And she's like, okay, well, you guys get in, like relax, like unwind, and then tell me when you want me to bring Romeo. And I was like, if you think I can unwind without my dog, if you think I don't spend every waking second in West Nyack thinking about where my dog is, you're out of your goddamn mind. Get him home as soon as I get there. And that's what we did. But Romeo was happy to see us. He's a happy boy.
How often did you think about your godchildren when you were in West Nyack?
Not once. Not once. Although I did get my sister and her husband sent me a picture of my nephew. And I don't know how old he is, he's fucking huge. And I don't mean fat. He's tall. He's so big, and he's sitting next to one of his friends. He's like a foot taller than his friend. He's like already like 5'8", 5'9". At like, I want to say he's maybe 4 years old. He's gonna be a big one. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, like someone who hadn't seen Walker since last baseball season because his baseball season is starting was like, oh, you've gotten so tall, you know, since I saw you. You really shot up. And then he just responded. He's like, no, I'm still really short. And I was like, oh, it's already just like in your head that you're really short. That even when my kids hit a growth spurt, they know they're looking around at their class that they're like either first, second, or third shortest in the class.
Do you talk to them about that to make sure they don't get the Napoleon complex? Because you didn't have a Napoleon complex, but we've known people who have Napoleon complexes, and you don't want that.
No, it doesn't seem to really bother them. I mean, they're both full of confidence.
Yeah, your son's not much of a fighter, and I hope he stays that way. I hope he's like us. We're not fighters. We're not fighting boys. We're new but goofy boys.
I've never been in a fight in my life.
You got beat up once.
Yeah. We've been over this.
Yeah. That's kind of like getting in a fight, you know?
I wasn't really beat up. I was just on the outskirts or whatever. I've definitely inspired a lot of people to want to hit me, but they've never gotten.
We're thinking the two different stories. I'm thinking about the one outside Grits.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one, the SAE one. I'm talking about the where you like some guys pulled by and you like hit their car or something with your hand because they were like being dicks and they jumped out of the car and roughed you up a little bit.
Yeah, I forget about that one.
Yeah, you were more annoyed than like hurt, but it was fun.
Happened a little in high school too.
Anything else happened this weekend with you?
No, we're moving. You know, we have moved now. It's been emotional. It's been a lot.
So you're totally out of the old place.
We're
out. You got to still organize the new place. Have you gotten cable? Do you have everything in there?
No, I mean, there's a lot to do. Just like changing things out, getting rid of old furniture that like now we realize doesn't really fit the new place, and just like setting it all. It just feels like the most is happening right now. Plus, we wrapped up like a 2-week period where one of Emeka's best friend, her dad, my brother, they were all here. So that like wrapped up. It just feels like, I mean, I'm in my 40s. It's like the most is happening right now. Mm-hmm. Work-wise, free agency is about to start. But it's good.
Yeah, I get
feel
that.
Good in the house.
I mean, I got rid of an old rug and a desk in like my entryway of my place, and I need to replace them. I need a new rug. It feels weird not having a rug right there. Rummy's sliding around when he runs in the house. And the place where the desk was, I need something there. And it's killing me that we don't have it, but I also can't do anything about it. If I could hire someone to just go get it for me and like pick what's going to be there, great. Liz knows what to do, but she's like, well, you got to come with me. And I'm like, I will lose my mind immediately. I'm cool about a lot of things. I'm cool about 99.9% of things, but choosing furniture or things is not one of those things I'm cool with. That we're figuring it out, but Liz is not excited about working with me on this project.
No, I'm trying to like set up a podcast studio in the garage. I just want to hire someone to help me do it, but I haven't done that.
You could do that.
I'm trying to go on vacation in 3 weeks. I haven't even made any plans, and yet I'm taking the week off, and I'm planning to go to Hawaii, but I actually don't have any flights or any hotel or anything like that. But that's just how we roll in the Rosenthals. I always say to people, if they're going to get married, like try to find a planner, but you know, make sure there's one planner between the two of you. Because if you don't have a planner, nothing gets done. We don't have a planner.
What are the kids and Emeka going to do while you're on vacation? Are you taking them to Hawaii?
We're all going to go.
You don't have a reservation of where you're going to stay?
No.
Are you going to Airbnb or a hotel?
I'm not sure.
This is not, you're not a White Lotus guy. You got to become a White Lotus guy.
I want to. I did start looking a little bit over the weekend, but it stresses me out to do things too far ahead of time. But sometimes you get in trouble.
You think 3 weeks of a Hawaiian vacation is too far ahead of time?
Well, now it's time. It's time to go. I mean, I waited too long. Like, we're going to Indian Wells this weekend for the tennis tournament. I waited too long to get a hotel. There's no hotels left. You know?
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's bad. You could have easily handled that in a different way. And now it's time for, did we get any notes?
Did we get any notes? Notes. Notes. Did we get any notes? Notes. Did we get any notes?
No, we did not get any notes this week. None that I saw. None that Greg saw. We do have a couple notes for the viewers, for the listeners. If you're still listening, if you're still living in the Stone Age, listening to the Jesselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Then you're missing out on some big news today, because Seaweed is dead again. And Seaweed's been replaced behind Greg, over Greg's shoulder, with a picture of Elizabeth Wurtzel, author of Prozac Nation. I bought things from her estate sale when she died last year, and got a picture of her naked from the back, looking over her shoulder. I think this was the cover photo of her follow-up to Prozac Nation, a book that no one knows about or bought. And
I don't even think that many people know Elizabeth Wurtzel at this point.
If you say author of Prozac Nation, people are like, oh, okay, kind of. Yeah. I don't know why I bought things from her estate sale. It was very inexpensive.
I don't either.
And I just thought it'd be funny to bid on some things. And now it's been sitting on the floor of my place for a long time. And I brought it in, took down Seaweed's corpse, and put up Elizabeth Wurtzel's corpse. And so now we have that over the shoulder. I think it's funny. I think it's funny to have. I thought we could do both, have both of them up there, have them looking at each other, but Aaron couldn't figure it out. All Things Comedy couldn't figure it out. They've been talking about changing up the studio for quite some time. We still have the same garbage lighting. We still have the same amateur equipment, I will say, in terms of cameras. And the walls are bad, and the curtains are bad.
Jeez.
It's true. We talked about it. They're like, oh, yeah, we do need to change the fake ivy on the walls. There's some bad things here. But once they put new things in, maybe we can hang both pictures. Maybe we'll have the technology. So yeah, you got to watch it. People are subscribing in droves to the YouTube channel. I think we're up at 16,000 subscribers, which is huge. No one has that. No one. It's us and Mr. Beast. And now you can see Elizabeth Wurtzel's naked back, a little bit of side boob, and a tattoo. And then Greg is holding up the robe. Holding up the robe.
I noticed that it's an extra, extra large. No wonder didn't really fit me. I mean, what do they think?
They thought maybe I would wear it, because there was a chance that maybe we would switch and I would wear the robe for a picture and you would wear the tracksuit.
I was hoping for that to be the case. Yeah. In fact, I pushed for it multiple times, mm-hmm. and you said, no, it's not funny if I wear the robe.
Once I understood the comedy of you wearing the robe, I was like, yeah, we're not doing it both ways. We're doing it this way, and we're keeping it forever.
But I flipped the script on you because I ended up looking so sexy in that robe that there was no comedy. It was just like, oh, who's the hot one now?
I wasn't surprised that you looked sexy in the robe. I knew it, but you're so sexy, it's funny. You know what I mean? It's a Right Said Fred situation. No way you're disco dancing.
It's, I think, the only public display of chest hair, a decent amount here, that I've ever had. And then now it just pops up all the time. Mm-hmm. It's on everyone's podcast feed.
Yeah. You used to hate it. You used to hate the picture because we would use it every time to promote. But
Now it reminds me of when I was younger and better looking, just like slightly.
We're in our 30s in that picture. It's great. A lot of people in the email, sending emails in, JRVPJuniorVicePresident@gmail.com. A lot of people asked for the robe. They had little arguments to try to get the robe. People gave us their address to give them the robe. There were some great ones.
There was the one guy that went to your NIAC show that you won't tell me the name. I was saying we should read his email on the air, and you're like, no, that's mean to read it and not give him the robe.
Yeah.
So I know you're out there. I don't know how to find your email address. Maybe I'll go into the email.
You can.
And find it.
You're welcome.
Send an email.
I can have Miss Kim do that.
But I appreciated the sentiment. He was a true fan.
It was cool. And I thought when I read that email, because other people like asked for it, they're like, oh, I've got a space for it. It'd be great. But then this guy had a real like argument, an emotional argument for why he should have it. And I was like, maybe you should. But we're not going to do that. We're not just going to give it away. What we're going to do is we're going to have a contest. Okay. You can win the robe on episode 200. This is episode 195 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
And so you got 5 weeks. I don't remember. We did the math wrong on episode 100. It was actually episode 190. Why are you wiping it in your face? You want people to try to win this, and you're just wiping it on your face. You've had years to wipe it on your face, and you've waited till right now.
I mean, it's not the first time I wipe it on my face. I wipe it on my face all the time.
I know.
It's been all over my house. It's been in closets. It's been in the car. I'm not going to wash it before we give it away. You get some of that Greg juice with it.
Greg is fondling the robe like it belonged to a dead lover.
I just thought it'd be like a fun little treat, a little Easter egg for our YouTube subscribers to be like, what the fuck is Greg doing while Anthony's talking? But now you've called
it up. It's certainly a treat, but it's not a fun one. We're going to have a contest. If you want the robe, we don't care about your emotional attachment to the robe. All right, that's not going to get it for you. Even though Greg like seems to want to track you down and kiss you because of your email, we're not doing that. We're not even going to say your name or read your email, but we appreciated it. What we're going to do is have a contest. We are going to do the episode 200, Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project, JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Erotic fan fiction fan submissions. Here are the rules. If you want the robe, you have to do this. Someone who does this is going to get the robe. We're talking erotic fan fiction about the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
You got to get it into us. Let's say the week before episode 200. I don't know when that is, but it's 5 weeks from now, 4 weeks from
we're
now.
We're at 195 right now.
We're gonna read the, we're gonna read our top 3 to 5 on the air during episode 200 and award the winner during that. We're gonna know beforehand. We'll read like number 4, 3, 2, 1, whatever, depending on how many we get or how good they are. Here are the rules, and you will be disqualified if you do not follow all of these rules. 250 words or less. Keep it short, sweet, and hot when you write your JRVP erotic fan fiction. 250 words or less. Must include, the characters must include Anthony, that's me, Greg, that's Greg, Aaron, Aaron cannot be seen, only heard in the story, and Seaweed's corpse. You gotta have Seaweed's corpse in there, and Rummy, and my dog, Red Rum. You must not include, if you include any of these characters, you can have other people, you can have other parties involved. If you include Emeka, Greg's wife, you're gone. Liz, my girlfriend, you're gone. Walker, Ellis, you're gone. Those are Greg's kids. They can't be in the erotic fan fiction. And Erica. If I see Erica's name in there, you're gone. Or someone you describe that I'm like, that's Erica. Even if you called it something else. You're gone. 250 words or less. Get them in. You can submit right now to jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. We will read them. We will enjoy them. We will touch ourselves when we read them. And then we'll pick our the best and read them in episode 200. And I bet a lot of people aren't going to do this. I think the rules are tough. 250 words or less is not easy. Even though it's
too many words, I know you just went through all the rules.
Or less.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd lean on less if I was out there, because I think if you can pack a lot of punch in a shorter package,
yeah,
it's going to be better.
Be like me.
250. Now that I look at it,
that's half a page.
That's a lot.
That's half a page. I feel that's the borders. You, again, be shorter. Brevity is wit. That's the Jess Lenick slogan when it comes to stand-up. So be like me. Give me a haiku. Give me an erotic fan haiku that includes me, Greg, Aaron, Seaweed's corpse, and Rummy. Give me that.
And make sure it's not Seaweed back in the day.
It's Seaweed's corpse.
It's his corpse.
Yeah. Unless there's a time machine, an erotic time machine, that we go back to when Seaweed was still alive. But even if you do that, Seaweed's corpse still has to be there.
Right. You need the corpse at first, then you go in the time machine.
Or we bring the corpse into the time machine.
That would be fun.
Yeah. I don't want to write it for you. That's not what the contest is all about. But if you want the robe, and there might be some other, we might give away some other things to runners up. Mm. So if you're like, I want the robe, I want to submit, but if I might not get the robe, you might get something. It's episode 200. We got to celebrate in some way. Aaron, what do you think about, how do you feel about this?
I am very interested in what we read.
Do you want to read all the submissions, or do you just want to read, you hear the top five or whatever come episode 200?
No, I'll just take part in the top five. Yeah.
Are you going to try to submit under an alias?
Perhaps.
Okay. And listen, if you're not a listener and you still want to submit, go for it.
And there can be other characters, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Nori is fair game, apparently.
Mm-hmm. You can do Nori.
She's had a tough time in the move.
Tom Brady, you want to throw him in there? He's got nothing better to do than get fucked by us. And that was, did we get any notes?
Did we get any notes?
Now it's time to take it down to a place where Tom Brady's always getting bucked. It's Email Corner.
Email Corner. Emails are a thing. Email Corner. It's Email Corner.
We have to do this. We have to do this section. We have to do this corner. Emails are a thing, guys. Look it up. Google it. We like to let people write into the show, ask us questions, make comments, ask for robes. We pick three, and then Greg reads them, and then I answer them.
Why do your eyes light up like in a way, and the excitement's at the highest when you're explaining what emails are?
I get
excited. That's like the number one part of the show, it feels like, for Jessel.
Aaron, what are emails?
They're a thing.
They're a thing, and I celebrate that. Mm-hmm. It's my podcast, okay? You want something else? Go listen to Rogan. Emails are a thing.
All right, our first question asks, Anthony, Greg, Aaron, and Miss Kim, I have a question for you guys. This past December, my boyfriend of 4 years cheated on me with his stepsister. We're both in college. I'm about to graduate this May. His family doesn't know. I've kept composure so far, thinking that karma would do its thing. But damn, she is taking a long time. What kind of revenge would you recommend? Nothing is off limits.
I'm so glad you came to us. I'm so glad you came to us. They add at the end, thanks, I'd appreciate if you didn't say my name. Right. In case he listens to the pod, she introduced him to it. Much love from New Orleans. I left the name out just in case Greg was going to mess up.
I mean, he'll definitely know it's you. How many stepsister fucking boyfriends are out there in New Orleans?
Yes. I'm so glad you came to me. As soon as I read this, I was like, huh, what would you do? And I was like, oh, I got it. Okay. First, Greg.
Let's hear yours.
Okay. Actually, no. I want to hear what you would. Just top of your head. What do you got?
Mine was that revenge is overrated. That's like my real answer.
No. That's wrong. Revenge is not overrated.
I mean, you said as much in the Chris Rock section at the beginning. You were saying like he needed to get his revenge. I was like, does he? Does he need to get revenge?
Yeah.
Does she? You say yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pre-roll.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, here's what you do, okay? Let's say, because I thought a bunch of different scenarios. Let's say you're at a graduation party for college. You're with his family. You make a toast, and you announce this. You're like, I'm sorry we couldn't be together anymore, but he's been sleeping with his stepsister. Okay, that sounds fun, but it's not the way to go. Because he's waiting for something, all right? He's flinching. Ever since you caught him, he's been flinching, waiting for this moment that you drop the dime on him and blast it. But once you blast it out there, it's over. You can't have any more fun. Once you tell people, yeah, it's going to be embarrassing in the moment. It's such a weird thing, the stepsister, that no one's going to want to talk to him about it. No one's going to deal with it. They'll whisper behind his back. It might ruin things with the stepsister, but that's it. That's all you're getting. And then it's over. You never get to, you'll probably never see him again. You never see the family again. It's over. What you do is you don't say anything. You don't say anything, but you make as much eye contact with him in public as you can. You look at him like, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about telling everybody right now. Give a speech at the graduation party and don't mention it. Maybe like reference both of them in it. Never tell anyone that this has happened. Never tell anyone. He's going to be terrified for the rest of his life that you were going to drop this on him. Show up at his wedding in 10 years and give a toast and do not say anything. Let him think that you were always about to tell everyone, because he must live in fear of people finding out about him and his stepsister. And I think this is the way to go, because then, and again, show up at everything. And he can't say, I don't want her there. I don't want her to come, because they're going to ask why, and he can't answer why. Always be around. Hang out with the mom. Hang out with the dad. Hang out with the family.
Is this worth it?
Yes, and never say anything. He'll never sleep again. I'm so glad you came to me. That's what you do. Mm. Aaron, do you agree with me? Emails are a thing.
Emails are a thing, for sure.
Thank you.
Are we to assume that they're still together then?
No, I don't think they're together.
Oh, no. They broke up.
Okay.
But it's one of those where like the family's like, oh, why, you guys broke up? Like, what happened? And no one can answer. Mm. So just keep hanging around and let them keep asking you. Let them keep asking you, be like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't want to talk about it right now. Maybe one day. Just do that a lot. Maybe one day we'll talk about it. We'll go out and have some wine, and I'll tell you the whole story. Bring your stepdaughter, and we'll all talk about it. Have a girls' night. Say shit like that. That will terrify him. That will terrify her. That's the best revenge.
Stepsister. Stepdaughter would be even more troubling.
No, but you're saying to the mom, Yeah, so right. It's the mom's stepdaughter.
I assume this was like a limited cheating. Well, I guess not. I guess I don't know whether it was like something more lasting, like whether it was like a clueless situation. Like we were led to believe that was lasting. That was his stepsister. Everyone was cool with that.
I don't know. I mean, I understand there was a step siblings thing in Clueless, but right? I didn't see the movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Paul. That was like the big romantic ending. Paul Rudd and Alicia Silverstone. I think they were stepsisters.
Yeah, they were. I think they were former step siblings.
I mean, at that
but
point.
They don't actually do anything. It's just like at the end, you think maybe.
They kiss.
I feel like,
yeah, they kiss.
Okay. Listen, we're not kink shaming. Nothing wrong with it, but you don't want to be black.
I mean, I'm
kink
shaming like a little bit. Don't you think it's weird?
If your stepbrother was Paul Rudd, you tell me you wouldn't kiss him.
I'd kiss him right now. I love Paul Rudd.
He doesn't have to be your stepbrother to kiss Paul Rudd. That's true. He's fucking Paul Rudd, guys.
And
he's Ant-Man for a reason. He's irresistible.
Alicia Silverstone, like the rich woman's Elizabeth Wurzel.
Mm-hmm. Got better with age. Alicia Silverstone. Everyone's favorite Batgirl.
But this kind of gets me thinking, and this is tricky because, you know, a lot of, you know, people I know listen to this. But one thing I've noticed, why, like, if you're on a porn site, it's happened. I mean, okay, we're all grown adults. It's mm-hmm. happened. We've checked out these sites. If you check out, like, what's the most viewed, people are always into the family porn. Mm-hmm. Like, the family porn is, like, far and away number one, mom and sister and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I am kink shaming maybe a little bit. Why? I'm always very surprised by this.
I think it's the fantasy, because that's why step siblings.
Why is that the fantasy?
That's why the step sibling thing is big, because it's not really incest, because I think you're in close quarters. You're like in the house. It's like you're alone together. And I think that's the...
But are there that many people that live with their stepmom and stepsister that want to... I guess so.
No, I mean, I don't know. I came from a whole family. You know, we never... There were no step-siblings. There were no step-parents. But rest assured, I would have gone to town if there had been.
Our next email is from Jonathan. That was good advice. Because I just think the tension of it. It's kind of like a horror movie. You don't want to find out who the bad guy is.
Never let him rest.
Yeah. Our next email.
I also think karma is more of a life thing. So it's going to take longer than 3 months. It's only March.
It's a fair point.
Right?
Never let him know. Have a newsletter about high school or about your college days that comes out every week. And you're like, next week I'm going to tell a crazy story you guys won't believe. And then let him sweat it out for a month.
Also, is this a Tulane student? I guess it could be Loyola, could be Xavier.
They would have said Tulane.
She said much love from New Orleans.
Yes, but they
would have, she's a college student.
But she would have said Tulane.
There's only so many. Our next one is from Jonathan, as I mentioned. I hope this email finds you well. Writing you both today. I'm a big fan of the show, hoping to win that iconic robe.
Hey, get writing. Get writing, Jonathan. Get writing horny.
My girlfriend and I actually went to see Anthony's stand-up show at Irvine Improv. We had a blast. As a fan of the pod, I wanted to ask Anthony about his experience on Getting Dug with High, a podcast back in 2013. I remember this. I recently re-listened to the episode. It made me realize how far we've come since then. Weed used to be this edgy, rebellious thing, and now it's as mainstream as pumpkin spice lattes. So, Anthony, what was it like being on Doug Benson's show? And what do you think of Doug himself? The whole show seemed pretty disjointed, but you didn't seem to be taking it too seriously. I would say your episode and the one where Jack Black smokes too much and has to leave are the most listenable episodes of the show.
A good question. I've never told this story before. Doug Benson, I love Doug Benson. Doug Benson helped me out a lot when I was starting out. This is the last time there was a writer's strike. We got another writer's strike coming up. And I keep telling people this is an opportunity, the writer's strike. Because when I, for the last writer's strike, that's when I started going on the road and became a full-time comedian, which I never stopped doing. I had a day job that I was kind of locked into. It was giving me money, and I got laid off because of the writer's strike. I was an accounting clerk on a TV show. The whole show got shut down. And people took me out on the road. Brian Posehn, his show, TV show got shut down. And so he went on the road a lot, brought me. And then Doug Benson was on the road constantly. He was doing Best Week Ever at the time and was on the road every weekend. And those two took me out. So Doug... I really had to work all 4 weekends of every month in order to make my rent and to make the money I had to. And I was lucky enough between Doug and Brian that I got to do that. And Doug especially brought me out twice as much. And I did not do well in front of Doug. This was like, I'm nervous. I'm starting out. It's my first time being on the road, doing half an hour for the first time and doing every joke I've ever written. And Brian Posehn's audience loved me. If you were a Brian Posehn fan, you were a fan of me. Doug Benson's audience, for the most part, hated me. I would walk people who were there to see Doug. They didn't want to wait through me to see Doug. Some people really liked me. I had some good shows and bad shows, but it was bad where I thought after the first weekend, I thought he'll probably never take me out again. And he brought me out every weekend because he just enjoyed hanging out with me. It was a fun hang and I enjoyed hanging out with him. It was good times. So now years later, it's 2013. I'm at my most famous. You know, I'm like, I'm on billboards. I'm the New York subway system is papered in my picture. It's that kind of famous. I have a TV show. In between season one and season two, Doug asks me to come on Getting Dug with High. And this is like, smoking pot. You get there, it's an hour-long podcast where you smoke pot like on camera, which at the time was novel. It was a very novel thing to do. And it's a big thing for someone who's on TV. I'm like, my mom is going to watch this. My mom watches everything. Mom's going to see me smoke pot for the first time. But you know what? I owe Doug. Doug was so good to me in the beginning. I'm going to do this for Doug. So I'm not feeling great about it, but I'm going to go do it. And they send a car to come pick you up so you don't have to drive afterwards. And I get there, and I'm feeling a certain way about it, but I'm like, I'm going to go in and do it. And I walk in the room and it reeks of weed. Like I can't see 2 feet in front of my face because there's so much smoke. And this is a podcast they did live. So at 4:20 every like Tuesday or Wednesday, you would watch it live. So it was like an extra thing to make me a little nervous about it. And I walk in and the place is just filled with smoke. And I'm like, what the fuck? And Doug is almost in a coma. He's laughing and super stoned. And he's like, oh, I pre-taped an episode with Greg Proops right before you. I did not know this was a possibility. I did not know they would like be taping back to back. So he's already super high and I'm angry. Like if it's anyone else, I would have just left. I would have called myself another Uber and gotten the fuck out of there and never done the podcast, but it's Doug. So I'm going to do it. And Doug is like way more stoned than I am the whole time, obviously. And I'm angry and I'm trying to be polite, but people liked that I kind of gave him shit throughout. I'm like, I'm really mad.
But did he
that
get
this is happening?
Like really high?
Oh yeah. I mean, I got pretty high. I was so mad at him that it wasn't fun to like, if it was me and you and we're getting high, it's like, well, I'll match you, you know, but there's no matching him. So it's like, we both smoked a little. And I got pretty, I mean, I was stoned for sure, but I was kind of like hitting a joint whereas he was like blasted before we even started rolling. And I was like angry. People like the episode. I'm glad they do. Doug is cool. I love Doug. It was not like as soon as the podcast was over, I was over it. But yeah, that podcast is fun, but it's me being really, really mad at my stoner friend and giving him as much shit as I could.
Would you ever do a high, JRVP?
I would. I thought about doing it for like April 20th, you know, if we did like a 420 episode, but I don't think it would be good, you know?
No. It might not be bad. I don't know. I don't think it would make me better, but, you know, I probably wouldn't change that much.
I had a friend who had a podcast where they would do the first half sober and then pause and then go get high and do the second half. And the second half was almost unlistenable every time. That it's like,
really?
It might be fun for you, but if you're the listener, no. You want people like on point. If I had a few drinks back in the day, I'm almost at 11 months sober. 420 will actually be 1 year sobriety for me from alcohol. But I would, if you and I got high together, I would do it, but I don't think it would be good.
I think during the pandemic, there were probably some JRVPs where I'd gotten high like earlier, like way earlier in the day. I think that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think it wasn't any different. I thought this kind of helped, but I wouldn't want it to become like a regular thing.
Like then I'm just crush. Like a little tired. Like when I'm high, I don't want to be doing this. You know, I want to be like sitting on the couch watching a movie or something or taking a walk, hanging out with my
dog.
See,
I would. I'm an active guy. You know, that's when I want to get my shit done.
Like I don't want to be on stage. Even if I smoked like earlier that like way, like hours, 8 hours before, I'm still like, I just don't want to be doing this. So I just kind of rush through it.
What if it was like me, you, and my parents, and we're all high?
100%. I would love that. You know, and if you want like episode 200, you want me and Greg to get high maybe for the end of it, like do like one headline at the end where we're stoned and then do recommendation station, I would be in. I would do
pressure.
It for the listeners.
It's too much pressure to just have like one headline in the end. I mean, you wouldn't even notice the difference maybe.
It doesn't give you superpowers.
Right, that's what I mean. The next and last email is from Chris. A long one. Hey, Miss or Mrs. Kim, as a native of New Orleans who still lives here and happens to be the same age as Anthony and Greg, I've always enjoyed the parts of the pod where Anthony and Greg reminisce about their college days in New Orleans. I don't think we've ever gotten the story from them on why they each chose to go to Tulane in the first place. Was it your first choice? Did you almost go somewhere else? Did New Orleans's lax attitude toward underage drinking play a role at all? To what fate do we owe the meeting of the minds that entertain us every week?
We'll answer this quickly. I believe we've answered a bunch of these before, but not all of it. It was like, Tulane was my first, it was my reach school. I think I've talked about where like, I was obsessed with New Orleans as a kid, like in my teenage years. Not because of underage drinking. Every college had underage drinking. It wasn't that, you know, but I loved New Orleans. It seemed like a mysterious, very cool city that just like, the idea of living there at all, much less going to college there, sounded cool. Just kind of like a seedy area. Like I read books about where like people in New Orleans. It just sounded really cool, and I wanted to go. When I found out there was a great school there, which I think my sophomore year, I went to a college fair, and they had I looked at Louisiana. You know what schools were there? It was Tulane, and I asked my dad, and he was like, "Oh, it's a great school." And I was like, "That's my reach." I only applied to Tulane, Penn State, because it was like in-state, you know, cheap tuition. I didn't get into Maine. I wouldn't want to go where all the high school kids went that I went to high school with. But I got into like a branch campus that I was like, no way. And I got into University of Indiana, Bloomington, that I was like, okay, this would be, they had a good writing program, And I was like, okay, that would be cool. And I knew I would get in there. My grades were good enough. And Tulane was my reach. I applied early admission. Didn't get an early admission, but got in. And was very excited to do that. And my parents didn't want me to go because it was so expensive, way more than Indiana. But I really, really wanted to go there. That was it. And yeah, New Orleans' lax attitude towards drinking had nothing to do with it at all. It was just a bonus when you got down there. I didn't know I'd be able to go into bars.
Right, I didn't know that either. They changed the drinking age only a year before we got there. The year we got there, like that January, and we were there in September. But you could still go into the bars at 18 throughout, and that was amazing.
We found out.
My choice to go to New Orleans was kind of like my vacation plans. It was pretty last minute, and then I was decisive about it. It was just a kid from my high school was going on a visit there. And it wasn't even one of my best friends, but he knew I was like, I just wanted to go somewhere warm. That was sort of all I was thinking. And I hadn't even heard of Tulane, and they were going to go on a visit to Tulane. So I went with him for like a weekend. We got like a dinner downtown and stayed in the quarter. And I was just like, I can't believe that they allow people to do this. Like, it just seemed like Disneyland. And so it was the only place I applied to. I knew I'd get in. Like, it was, I wouldn't say it was a safety school, but I had no doubt I could get in, and I could have gotten into better schools if I wanted. And they gave me a partial academic scholarship. So I was sold. I was all focused on like playing tennis and doing like broadcast communication in college. And then I just did that one visit to New Orleans with like not even a close friend. I was just like, oh, this is it. I got
to
do this.
So did your friend apply to Tulane?
He never even applied. He maybe applied, but he didn't seriously consider going.
There was one girl from my high school who went to Tulane with me. And we knew each other a little bit in high school.
And I applied early too, like you.
And then she was, every time I saw her, she was like, I can't believe you got in here, and I can't believe you're still here. Like, it just seems like you would be gone immediately. And she was right, but I made it. You really didn't apply to any other schools. Where would you have applied?
I was thinking about GW because I could play tennis there, and I thought it'd be good for what I did. Or maybe Georgetown. That would have been a little more of a reach. I don't know if I would have gotten in there. But I was someone that was like, I don't need to like mess around and apply to all these schools if they let me in. And then they gave me some money, then I was sold.
I got a little money, but I had to take a lot of loans. And I never saw Tulane. I never saw New Orleans. I never saw the city of New Orleans.
Oh my God.
Until my first day of like orientation. I just knew it would be great. And I was right.
I think I went in the summer before my senior year. And I was just like, I'm going to go here. I looked it up. It's like not, I didn't think it was that hard to get into relatively. I was pretty good in high school and all that stuff. And I was like, this is it. This is easy. And my parents were like, sure, fine.
I went to visit Indiana with my dad and my German exchange student. Shout out to Heiko. And I was like, maybe this place will be so great. Because they could have taken me. You know, it's a big state school versus a little, you know, independent school. And it was like just the idea of New Orleans is what it was competing against. And I went to Indiana the weekend before the little Indy 500. They're big, like, it's like that big bike race. There was a movie, I think, called Breaking Away that, like, that talked about it. But this campus was dead. There was nothing going on. Remember me and fucking Heiko just wandering around looking for anything to do. Someone to be like, yeah, this place is awesome. And we never found it. It was this huge campus. And I was like, I could go here. If I didn't get into Tulane, I would have gone there happily. And I'm sure it would have been amazing. But that weekend did not. There was no choice. Once I got in, I was like, no, I want to
do this. I think we did the thing where someone showed us around the campus. And then like we met up and we went to the place where there was penny pitchers later that night.
Waldo's? It's not Waldo's anymore, but it was.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
Loved it. Aaron, where'd you go to college?
San Diego State.
Nice. I was like, you ever ask someone where they went to college and they get really insecure because they didn't go to college? And you're like, why are you insecure? You didn't have the debt that we were saddled with. I don't think people have to go to college. But in my family, it was a big deal. And I was happy to go to Tulane. I'm too proud for my entire life about going to Tulane. I'll never stop loving Tulane. We still talked about getting our Tulane tattoos.
That's true.
Getting the angry pelican.
I thought we were going to get the little wave. That would be the angry pelican, the little T with the wave. I don't know.
Is it the wave with the pennant? I don't know. We'll talk about it. We could do it. We could do it. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, that was Email Corner. Diamonds around the world unite. Diamonds around the world unite. And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
So the weather about to get warmer. The jackets come off. What should you be putting on?
Tommy John.
That's right, Tommy John. Tommy John loungewear. I'm glad Tommy John is back.
So glad. I would have been mad if they didn't come back. I didn't know they had gone away.
They just did one, and it was like a couple months ago.
I thought they were spaced out. They had a couple in there. But listen, it's the one that I used before they came on. Athletic Greens, I'm all about. Okay, but I didn't know about them until they started becoming an ad. Tommy John, I was like, oh, I'm built for this. And apparently they'd run out, and then they heard the ad we did and how hard I sold that shit. It's my underwear. You want my underwear. However you have to get it, get my underwear.
I mean, it's mine now, too. That's the thing. I would have been disappointed. Since Tommy John did those couple ads, and now I've become a Tommy John boy.
You're a Tommy John boy.
We're both Tommy John boys. I actually went to TommyJohn.com/JRVP. I'm not lying. A couple months ago, and I spent, I got my 20% off, but I spent a lot of money. I got all the underwear and pajamas, by the way, that I had. I threw it away. You don't give that to Goodwill. That you throw away. I ordered a lot of Tommy John, probably too much now in retrospect. I was like, I have, it's going to last me forever, and I'm loving it. I sleep in it every night in terms of the pajamas. I've got it on right now in terms of the underwear, which is comfortable. It's perfect. Emeka loves it. And now I got to go get myself the loungewear. I don't have the loungewear yet.
I've got a little bit of the loungewear. It's so fucking comfortable. It's the most comfortable loungewear you're going to own. And again, they have it on sale. Buy a bunch of it. I'm like Greg, I have too many pairs of underwear. And when I only wear so many pairs during the week. You know what I mean? And then when my housekeeper washes them, they go back on top of the drawer. So I'm reusing. I've got pairs at the bottom of the drawer I've never even seen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how many is too many pairs of underwear?
But listen, I'm
like,
on the road a lot.
Just put a number on it.
When I notice there's a hole in one of them, I toss it. Because those are getting cycled in. And then I grab the new pair. It's the way to go. They have these sales. Get your 20% off. Buy too much. And you'll never buy underwear again. It's the best. Lamar Odom wears it. He's the one who told me about it on Big Brother Celebrity Edition.
Really?
That's how you know. Yeah.
Well, that checks out. Part of the copy is that people that get Tommy John, they're not just customers. They're like fanatics. They get into it. They're loyal. And it's part of that soft tri-blend and micro-model fabrics, I guess. Maybe that is why it's so comfortable. I don't know why, but
if you're
like
not
it.
Wearing Tommy John underwear, you're free-balling. Okay? Right. Maybe there's an elastic band around your waist, but it's not doing anything unless it's Tommy John.
Everything's backed by
Tommy
John.
If you take off someone's pants and you don't see Tommy John, do not do anything else to them or their bodies. It's not worth it. You're going to get sick.
Everything's backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's colorful new spring designs at TommyJohn.com/JRVP and get 20% off your first order. Again, save 20% off right now at TommyJohn.com/JRVP. See site for details. Helix, another product that we use. Got to the new house, set up the new Helix, feeling great, sleeping well in a new setting. It works everywhere. I hate the idea of going to a mattress store. They're all over the neighborhood where I live in Santa Monica. And I'm just like, I look at them every day and they make me sick. Because you can just skip that whole process. You can order your Helix mattress online. You get a 100-night free trial. You get a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your mattress. And if you don't love it, if you think it's a little too stiff, they have so many different mattresses, 14 different ones, obviously, big, tall sleepers. They have kid ones, soft, medium, whatever you want. You want it fancy, you can make it as fancy as you want.
Here's what I'm going to pitch this time for about Helix mattress. I just gave a Helix mattress as a gift.
Ooh.
A good friend of mine, one of my openers, had a bunch of roommates, was moving out. I was like, you got to get out of there. Move out of there. You're too big now. Got her own apartment. Didn't have a bed. And I was like, oh, I'm going to take care of you. I got a relationship with the Helix people. Went on. Sent her the best one. Sent her the Midnight Deluxe, the king size. Sleep cool. I like to sleep cool. Sent that to her. She's over the moon. It's the best gift she's ever gotten. Give someone a gift. You got someone going to college? Someone coming back from college, moving to a new place? Send them a Helix mattress. They will thank you for the rest of their lives.
Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/JRVP. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Again, that's helixsleep.com. JRVP. Finally, it's Athletic Greens. That's one thing that's stayed consistent. Everything for me and for this podcast. But I mean in my move. I just feel all out of sorts in terms of this move. I don't know where anything is, but you know, I know where my Athletic Greens is. It's right at the front of the fridge.
It's the first thing I do every morning. I have Athletic Greens. I do it on the road. I do it at home. I wake up, I do Athletic Greens, and I feel better about the unhealthy choices I make in my life because I started with Athletic Greens, and I know it can't get bad. If I can't eat breakfast for a long time, I'm not going to eat for a while. I have Athletic Greens. I feel better about it. I haven't missed a day. I think it's been a long time I've been drinking. I don't know how long exactly when I started, but I love it.
You're like Emeka. You never miss a day. Every once in a while,
I'm just like Emeka.
I miss it. But she's like, first thing, it's happening. It's one scoop of powder mixed with water once a day. Healthiest thing you can do to start your day. Packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality. Helps out that gut health. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/JRVP. That's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Check it out.
And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines.
Let's get the headlines.
See, you break out like new dance stuff every week, and I'm just stuck. I'm stuck in a rut. It reminds me of my job for Channel 5 in the UK for Monday Night Football. Because every week at 3 a.m., they have what's called the 3 a.m. club. It's 3 a.m. in the UK. It's like once you get to like the fourth quarter or something. And if you've made it that far, it's like we say you're entering the 3 a.m. club. And during that commercial break, they just play music the whole time. And we have to like dance in our seats. And it's like the most terrifying, horrible 2 minutes of my week. Like I'm trying to have fun, but I can't come up with 2 minutes of dance moves. And I'm next to people who are good at dancing, and it's tough. And now I'm just reliving that with you every week.
Yeah, I feel it. I close my eyes. I hear that music and I feel it. And I do something. Because I get worried sometimes that my dance moves are becoming rote, if you will. Like I'm just doing the same thing every time. Because it is the same music every time. Don't get me wrong. But you feel it. You open up your heart to God and you do what God tells you to do, which is do something new, dance-wise.
This has potential to be one of our longest show, maybe our longest show ever.
Good.
Headlines starts with a week, really an inspiring story of never giving up. It's about a groom in India that tragically saw his bride-to-be die of a heart attack during wedding rituals, which is admittedly, you know, not what you want.
It depends.
For the most part, you do not want your bride to die. But did that stop him from getting married that day? It did not. The family of the bride proposed to replace the dead bride with her younger sister, which does sound callous, but don't worry. They kept the original bride's body in cold storage until the ceremony was over.
Okay, controversial take here. There are no losers here. Everyone's a winner. Okay, I can't imagine. It was the most loving union. If this happened, if this is a possibility.
Okay.
So the guy who's going to get married.
Yeah.
Right. The family's there. He sees it. He's like, okay. I'm not psyched about this. The woman's not psyched about this. She'd rather die. She does die. He's like, okay. Well, now what? Do you want a younger version of that one? You got it. Okay. He's happy.
Okay.
He's happy. He's been a winner. He's been staring down the barrel of wife number one for months now. Getting ready. I'm sure they're sick of each other just from like the rehearsals and stuff they got to do. All right. So he's like, okay, I don't have to do this anymore. Great. Now, the younger sister, you would think maybe she's not thrilled about this. Oh, fuck yeah, she's thrilled about this. I've never been to or heard of a wedding where the sister of the bride wasn't a bitch about it, where the sister of the bride wasn't annoyed that she wasn't the center of attention, where she wasn't like, I should be getting married. Why is she getting married? She gets to live every little sister's dream at a wedding, which is her sister dies and she gets to be the bride out of nowhere. Doesn't have to go through the rehearsals. Doesn't have to like do the meet and greet and like meet the families. Like she's in. She gets to skip all the bullshit and get right to the fun stuff.
It's basically like a Disney movie come to life.
Mm-hmm.
what every girl dreams of.
It's just like Dumbo. She's psyched that she gets all of a sudden, she's like, me? Oh, I didn't, okay. Dun, 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 dun. She's pumped. Everyone's fired up. They don't even mourn the dead one.
Okay.
I think that maybe when she died, do you think that they called it and then took the veil off and gave her just like one little kiss?
I think so. I mean, at least give her like a little taste of what she's missing. You said, though, everyone's a winner here. Mm-hmm. It was a hot take. But what about the dead sister?
No, dead sister didn't want to really get married. I think she was psyched to die instead of having to marry this dork.
Okay.
I don't know any of the people involved in the story, but I just
feel like there's a big spectrum between not marrying him and, you know, not taking in another breath.
No one who's ever been to an Indian wedding, and these are marathon weddings, hasn't thought, I would be so happy to die right now.
I liked the one Indian wedding went to. Yeah. Try everything.
I went
once.
To one Indian. I was supposed to go to
a couple days. I only went to one of the days, but it was, you know, it was a whole day.
A great friend of mine was getting married right when COVID was coming down. And it was like an all-day Indian wedding thing that we got invited to. And then I was one of the few people who got invited to the after dinner thing. And then they had to cancel almost all of it a day of, and then just had the dinner that I was at. So I was kind of at an Indian wedding, but I got to cut out all the bullshit. You either want a major pandemic to come down and cut things short, or you want to die. Everyone here is psyched about this. It's a feel-good story.
I mean, I don't know if the mom was a winner. Now I don't know why I'm circling back after
the mom gets to cry about two daughters now. Listen, everyone's happy. Everyone is happy. If you had told them the night before this was going to happen, they'd be like, I don't believe you. That's too good.
Like, who put the sister in cold storage? Like, that, whoever that person is, I assume it was like a family member. I don't know if it, because I don't think they're calling the coroner or anything at that point. They gotta put this off.
That's what the best man's for. That's what the best man is for. Everyone's a winner.
A Florida man was arrested over the weekend after being found with thousands of pounds of child porn. Yes, he had an actual ton of child porn. There was an estimated 220,000 images weighing approximately 2,600 pounds.
I love this. I love the idea of being caught with so much child porn. They had to weigh it. They had to weigh it. Usually it's like thousands of images. No, you had to weigh it. They probably weighed it in, like, and this is not in metric, but they could have done metric for the scientific community. That is way too much child pornography. I assume that's a record. I assume they don't weigh it very often. Because today it's all on computers.
Right.
A little flash drive doesn't weigh a lot. This guy had all the child porn. I feel like if they just run a magnet over this motherfucker, he's wiped out most of the child porn in the world.
There actually is an image, and if you're watching on YouTube, yeah, you can check it out now. Aaron's got of the boxes of the porn that was seized, which they did decide to weigh. It's a lot.
I love it. I love how he's got it organized. It's like he's like got like little Mylar packages to put things in to keep it fresh, keep it mint, so that you can resell it. You know, he's not one of these guys putting it under the mattress. That is organized.
Is that
he's
really 2,000 pounds right there? Maybe. Or that's part of it. I mean, I had a house full of boxes. It can get heavy quickly.
Yeah. I love how one's in the Amazon package with a little smile on it. That's perfect. That is perfect. I wonder if he's like, if they show the guy that picture and he's like looking at one box in particular, like, oh, that's the good stuff. If I could just get one box and run out of here, I would do it with that. Are they destroying it? Are they destroying the?
Cause that, I mean, I there's that little hope safe so. Thing. Why did they have
No,
that?
I mean, in the picture. Because that little, like, it looks like a safe. They would put things in and burn them. I applaud this guy's organizational skills.
You wanted the metric.
You got to take care of your child porn.
You wanted the metric conversion. It's 1,179 kilograms.
Do you think if you get busted with child porn and they're like, do you know how much child porn you have? And he's like, no. He knows exactly how much child porn he has. But it's like, do you know how fast you were going, sir? You're like, no, was I speeding? He's like that. And then they're like, we're going to wait. We'll be right back. And you just start sweating. He knows it's going to come back bad. Because if it's like you got busted with child porn, it was 10 pounds. You're like, that's not So what am I? When do I get to leave? But if they come in and they're like, it takes an hour to weigh this stuff.
10 pounds you've got is a ton. Lot. I mean, this is like paper. It's not heavy stuff.
It adds up.
I mean, it does add up. I'm not defending him in any way.
And it depends on how big the kids in the porn are. If you got that chubby kid porn,
I'm not defending him in any way. But as someone who did just move, things do pile up around the house in a way that you don't even notice. Like I did, I was like stunned by how much junk we had in the house, you know, before we moved. Like just like boxes and boxes of stuff we didn't need.
I mean, people never talk about this. Like, what's the worst kind of child pornographer? Do you know the answer?
What?
A completist. That's the one you got to watch out for, is the completist.
I like the like awkward, nervous like exhale you got from Aaron and I. Instead, we couldn't give you full laughter. It's just tough.
It's a solid
tough
joke.
It's a tough subject.
I don't see why.
I did want to show you the picture of the guy just in case you hadn't looked at it. He looks exactly like you would expect.
That's the Rosenthal special. This guy looks like he started this collection a long, long time ago. He's been waiting for this day. That guy is great. That is he's going to have a hard time in prison for sure.
Why is that the Rosenthal special? Oh, I always say that.
Anytime we show a picture of anyone, you say they look exactly the way you would expect them to look.
Although, actually, nice eyes. A little, you know, better looking than you would think.
You know what?
Is he currently swallowing? His neck is crazy.
Listen, I'm gonna say it right now. I'm going to bring this one back. This guy is our JRVP, listener of the week. He looks like he couldn't lift all that child porn. Yeah. He's got to have some friends.
No, he's old as... Like, I look at that picture, and I'm thinking he's 94. He's only 73.
He probably only
That'll age you.
He probably only got into child porn to make friends to help him lift the child porn. It's a catch-22.
My dad is like 8 years older than this guy, and he looks about 15, 20 years younger. Let that be a lesson to you.
What other similarities do they share?
The next story had the headline that introduced us to it. The Dildo Nazi: Sex Toy Selling White Supremacist Unmasked.
The Dildo Nazi: not the Dildo Nazi: That's a much different thing. We're not ready to tackle the Dildo Nazi:
Sex Toy Selling White Supremacy Unmasked. It's about a leader of a neo-Nazi network whose members celebrate white supremacist violent extremism, who was unmasked as a California woman, middle-aged, who was once reviewed and sold dildos for a living. Big time dildo reviewer.
Now, I love the idea of a white supremacist dildo reviewer. Because I got to think that I don't know a lot about dildos. I have been in sex shops. I have seen the dildos. I would think that every review from a Nazi dildo reviewer is, it's too big. 0 stars. It's huge. What am I going to do with this? I hate this one. It's too big, and I don't like the black one. This is monstrous. I hate it. 0 stars. That's all I have on this one.
Usually, dildo. It's pretty good though. That one was. I could see why you were excited about it. Usually, dildo salespeople are the best.
I hate how big it is. It's unrealistic. I wonder if this woman was like, when she sold the dildo, she was like, oh, you're not going to want that one. It's popular, but you don't want it. Try this. And it's just like, it looks like a pickle.
She did seem to keep her worlds separate. I mean, the group that she ran was pretty crazy, called the Terragram Collective, which used the encrypted messaging app Telegram to promote far-right terror, celebrate those who committed violent acts. Was very explicit, like in terms of the violence that they were encouraging. They took credit for some things. They had a lot of propaganda. But on the side, just reviewing those dildos. Like, she was probably getting free dildos.
Probably. I don't know how expensive dildos are. I could assume if you buy a couple, they're sending you some free ones in there. It's like getting fries at Five Guys. There's going to be some loose ones in the bag. I will say this, in her defense, the Terragram Collective is a cool name. Mm. It sounds like either like a fun band or like a Rob Zombie fan club. It just sounds kind of cool. I'm not defending anything else about this woman. I think she's bad. I think she's worse than the guy who had a metric ton of child porn.
Well, she's not the JRVP listener of the week, is she?
Fuck no. I mean, she couldn't even be if she wanted to be, or if I wanted to give it to her because I've already given it away to the guy with a ton of porn, literally. It's too big.
Last headline.
Love this headline from the New York Post. Suspected cannibal caught at airport with a suitcase full of suspicious meat.
Love it. This guy, apparently, they had him as a suspect in a killing. He murdered someone. I read the article. It was very confusing. It was like he...
It's not that confusing.
This guy was mentally ill. He was befriended by some people. He was kind of homeless. They like, come sleep with us. And he was telling this guy, like, yeah, I like to eat people. I'm a cannibal. The guy didn't take it well. So he killed the guy. The cannibal killed the guy he told a secret to and then showed up at the airport with blood on him. They were already looking for him. He had blood on him and a backpack, I assume, a suitcase full of meat.
A suitcase full of meat.
Did he try to check it, or was it a carry-on situation?
Suspicious meat. I think it was a carry-on. You know what makes me suspicious? That he's a cannibal and that he's carrying meat in a suitcase.
Yeah, that's probably going to be...
I mean, put it together.
Listen, I don't know if you guys have seen Bones and All, but you don't just give up some Bones and All. You got to carry it with you as long as you can until you're done eating it. I don't know why he didn't cook it first, turn it into jerky, bring it in a bag, have a nice little snack on the flight. Ugh. But here's my advice. If you are a cannibal, you've just killed someone, you've got a suitcase full of meat, bruh, take the train. That's what buses are for. You don't get on a plane with a sack full of meat, ever. That's rule number one. You're going to get caught. He deserves to get caught.
I agree. They were found inside a plastic bag stuffed into his luggage. He had described himself on Facebook as 2% genius, 98% crazy. That feels accurate.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know if he's even the 2% genius. This wasn't a smart move.
It's going to spoil. You got to refrigerate it. That's why you got to, maybe if you freeze it and bring it through, then we're talking.
Right. He was from the Netherlands, but he was...
Red flag already.
Yeah, in Portugal. And so it's going to be an extradition situation. And yeah, as you mentioned, he was having dinner with the victim and actually offered the victim flesh to eat and showed him some cannibal videos. And at that point, the guy didn't react well. And so then he killed him, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And stuffed him in a suitcase.
You know what that is?
Bones and All.
It's Bones and All.
Bones and All.
And now it's time for...
Choo-choo!
Recommendation station. Before we get into this, Aaron, did you see this week's Last of Us?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I thought it was the best episode of the season so far. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was awesome. But I will say this one more time. The woke nonsense on this show is killing me. It's fun, it's violent, I like the characters, it's cool, but we got to do the woke thing where the bad guy is a pedophile. Why can't the hero be a pedophile like it is in real life? Are you with me, Aaron?
Sort of.
Thank you. Greg, what do you got this week? You got to watch Last of Us.
I don't have to.
You would love it.
It's so good.
It's so good. And it's not like what you think. But
I don't think anything.
This week's episode, the last 10, 15 minutes, was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I can't wait. You're going to watch this week? Are you going to watch it live? The finale?
Yeah, yeah.
I love they're going up against the Oscars. They're going to get better ratings than the Oscars.
Hmm.
Actually,
the finale's going against the Oscars?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I need to. I don't think I've watched a TV show in 3 or 4 months. That's troubling. Some level. I mean, I've watched like sports.
When I texted Chris Rock to say congrats on the special, it's amazing. He wrote back and he was like, thanks, hope to see you soon. If you have any TV show recommendations, please pass them on. Because we were in London for a couple weeks. I was on tour with him last time we hung out. He was like, I'm looking for a show. I need a show. And people kept recommending shows to him. He wasn't into them. And I was like, dude, you got to see, have you ever seen Banshee? And he was like, no, what's that? And I told him about it. And he was like, okay. And I was scared because if he doesn't like my recommendation, like I'm dead in the water. But he was like, thank you so much for Banshee. I'm so, so happy. Banshee's an amazing show. Have you ever seen Banshee, Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah, Banshee's incredible. Yeah. So I was like very happy. So he was like, what do you got? I'm done. I'm off the road. I can't do this material anymore. I'm just going to be chilling. Give me a show. I gave him, have you guys ever heard of the show Gangs of London?
No.
I only saw the first season and like the first episode of the second. The guy who made The Raid, I forget his name.
Oh, wow.
Gareth Reynolds, maybe?
Edwards. Gareth Edwards?
Maybe. The Raid and The Raid 2 are amazing, perfect movies. He made a TV show. Gangs of London, about like an undercover cop going after a gang, and it's fucking, the fight scenes are incredible. It's a great like hardcore masculine show that I recommend, that I'm hoping he loves it. But yeah, that's part of my recommendation. Is Gangs of London. It's on AMC Plus.
What did you think Last of Us was too basic to recommend to him?
It's the number one show like in the world right now. I'm not going to recommend that, but I will recommend a show on AMC Plus that no one has ever seen. I think you can get it through Amazon or something, but get a free trial and binge. That's what I did for Gangs of London. It's awesome.
Well, you may look for diamonds in the rough. I'm going to recommend the movie that's probably going to win Best Picture this weekend. I finally went to go see Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I just feel like if you're like me and a weirdo that just takes you long to do everything that everyone else is doing, or you just didn't have the time back when it was out, I finally made myself go see it in the theater, and I had such a good time, and I was so happy I had it in the theater, because it is long, and you know, the middle is great. It's all like fight sequences, but I think it just would have been a different experience if I just wasn't totally locked in to get to the last 30 minutes, which is just amazing. Everything about it is amazing. The performances are amazing. Just the idea behind it. I just loved Everything Everywhere All at Once. I know I'm not the first person to say that, but if you've been waiting, do it before Sunday.
You're not the first person to say it. You're the last person to have seen the movie. Which is very funny. If you've been hearing all this stuff about Everything Everywhere All at Once, and you were waiting for Greg to give you that last little push, enjoy the movie. It's a
perfect
movie.
There was only about five people in the theater that I was in.
It's been out for a year. So yeah, I don't think that's crazy.
But that's what I mean. It's on Showtime right now, but I have Showtime. And I was like, no, I'm going to make a point and annoy Emeka and be like, I'm not going to stick around for dinner tonight or put the kids to bed. I'm going to see this finally. And made it happen, and it was worth it.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry, and I cry at everything.
There's a line that made me cry in the movie. In another world, I would have really loved doing taxes and laundry with you. It's amazing. Even saying it now, I'm a little choked up.
Her husband makes it to me. I mean, they're all great, but I just feel like without, like, I heard that was originally offered to Jackie Chan. Maybe Jackie Chan would have, like...
No, Jackie Chan was supposed to be... I think Jackie Chan was supposed to be...
That they wrote it for, him, and he was going to be the main character.
Yes.
Right. And that movie would have been interesting. I'm sure it would have been good, but it would have just totally changed the dynamic. And I think him playing that husband role somehow added, like, the family element brought it all together.
Listen, he's great. He's getting all the love. He deserves all the love. She's amazing, the main woman.
She's
Michelle Yeoh
so
is incredible.
Good.
But... The star for me was the daughter.
Yeah.
When the bad villain daughter is amazing. When she lives under the police line, like, I loved her in that movie. I think they should all win everything, and I think they're going to. I think best director, best everything. I'm all about it. Best film, for sure. Great recommendation. Go see that if you haven't. Go see it again if you have. My recommendation this week is a book. It came out a couple weeks ago, and I read about this, and I was like, this sounds really awesome. I read it in a few days. It's hardcore awesome shit. It's called Essex Dogs by Dan Jones. It's a historical fiction, which I normally don't like that much. This is the first part of a trilogy. Hmm. It's about this group of men from Essex, like eight guys from Essex who are kind of like a troop who go, and it starts with them storming the beach at Normandy, but not World War II. We're talking about the very beginning of the Hundred Years' War, something I know nothing about, where England invade France. They've got swords. They've got longbows. There's some crossbows hanging out. You hear a cannon every once in a while, but it's just like real hardcore. These guys are total badasses. The first ones in, they're like the Marines of it. And they go in and start cutting through France. It starts out great, and it's just fucking hardcore. The most masculine fucking book I've read in a long, long time. If you'd like my book recommendations, but you like the dude ones, the hardcore, like, this is badass. This is what fucking Joe Rogan reads while he lifts weights. Read Essex Dogs by Dan Jones. I can't wait for the next two books in the series. It's going to be a while, but it is, it's incredible. Do you want to read a scene where a priest bites a dude's nose off who was on his own team because he's looking for heroin? this is the book for you. Essex Dogs by Dan Jones. It fucking rocks. And that was.
Choo-choo.
Recommend, before I do the recommendation station, Aaron, do you have anything you want to recommend this week?
I've been talking about it for a couple weeks off air, but baseball's back and the World Baseball Classic starts today. It's a tournament for every 4 years. It's a world tournament where everyone represents their country, and I think it's going to be super cool because I think more players are in it than ever that are from the major leagues.
I'm into it. I'm going to watch. Who do you think's going to win?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched him, but I mean, I'm rooting USA.
Why did you look so annoyed when he said that, only to support his take? I thought for a second me recommending women's tennis was off the hook, but he seemed to like this.
I wasn't annoyed. I was just surprised he was going so into depth to it. But yeah, I'm excited. I almost bought a hat. I almost bought the Japanese World Baseball Classic hat. I was in the market for some caps. It was a sale, and the other countries weren't that cool, but the Japan one was dope. You would love it if you had it, but it was like, it's only a fitted hat. So I didn't know your size. I didn't get it for you. But yeah, I'm into the World Baseball Classic.
I was at the finals of the last one. So when USA took over Puerto Rico.
USA. And that was?
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. Walker, take me home, buddy.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.